Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Amen. Hallelujah. Hi, boss. Yeah. What's happening? Okay. Good morning, Jubilee. And a special welcome to the ladies in the house. It's still Women's Month, so happy Women's Month. Women, you rock. Just want to say. We had a fantastic women's event on the 9th of August, and you guys showed up, and you were just, it was so amazing. There was such a spirit of freedom, and Holy Spirit was absolutely present. We even had John trying to sneak into a women's event. I saw him there at the back, and I'm like, John, I see you. And he just kind of slid like that, and he went out. But it was just such a fantastic time, and thank you guys for showing up when we plan things as a church. Like Carl said, my name is Jabulisile, but you can call me Sja. And I am very honored and very excited to be able to share with you this morning from God's Word. I'm going to pray, and then we will get started. Yeah? Baba wethu namandla onke, Nkulunkulu ophilayo, Jehova, wena ongahluleki, God Almighty, we welcome you in this place and we say, Holy Spirit, you do with us as you please. We are yours and we are grateful for how you have loved us, pursued us over and over and over, so that we can be part of your family and enjoy everything that you have in store for us. And so, Lord, this morning as we open your word, we pray, O God, that you would soften our hearts to hear you. I pray that your word would be sweet again to us, that it wouldn't just be words that we are familiar with, but that we would hear you speaking to us. I pray for those who do not know you yet. I pray that when your word is shared, that their hearts would be soft and would desire to be in the family of God. Father, we love you and we praise you and we give you all the honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to continue with Romans 5. Carl kicked us off last week with Romans 5, 1 to 11. And we will continue from verses 12 to 21 this morning. But I just want to encourage you so that you can get a better picture of what Paul is trying to say in these next few chapters. If you can read chapters 5 to 8 as a setting, just once off, to get what, you know, there are different themes that come up throughout the letter, but it's themes that some have been introduced before, and he just kind of expands on them as the letter goes on. Some are new, like we start hearing about the Holy Spirit from chapter 5. There's more of grace. He starts talking about the law more, trying to explain how Israel should be relating to the law. So if you can do 5 to 8 in one set, just today, right, today, instead of Netflix, then you would have a slightly better picture of what we are trying to do. Because we can't do that in a 30-minute sermon, you know what I mean? But you want to understand what Paul is saying so that you can actually be part of what is happening in the story. I'm going to read for us and we will get started. So Romans 5, verses 12 to 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you a little story. I have three children, right? Eldest, Luyanda, is 19, Junior is 14, Pila is 7. And a couple of years ago, Pila and I went shoe shopping, right? The child needed new shoes. And so we go to my favorite place, the U-turn shop. Are there any people that work at the U-turn here this morning? Yes, my friend. Thank you for the discounts that you always give me. Yes, my friend. I see you. Whenever I go to the U-turn shop, I get greeted with smiles. Someone once said, "Welcome to Jubilee." And I'm like, uh-uh. You are at the U-turn shop. This is not a, and they always give me such great discounts. Anyway, we went there, and immediately Pila was drawn to this pair of shoes, and we go to them, and we see, okay, the price is really good, so yay, it's affordable, and we are celebrating all the way to the cashier. We get to the cashier, and the lady says, "Did you know that these shoes, actually, there's a little button that you press at the back, and there's little roller blade thingies that come out, and you can, the shoes can be shoes, but then they can also be roller blades whenever you want." And my 5-year-old is just going mad, thinking, oh my word, I've won the jackpot. And then the lady says, "That's not all. Also, there's a little button inside. If you press it, the shoes, just the bottom, the sole, it lights up like this, like Christmas lights." Now, can you imagine for a 5-year-old what that must have been like, right? It's like, I thought I was just getting shoes, but it seems like I'm getting a whole lot more. And the poor girl is just like going all mad. And that's kind of what happened to us with what God has done. We thought we were just going to get the gift of justification, right? We're going to be made right with God. But there's so much more. And Carl started us off last week. Hey, there's peace with God. There's hope even in suffering because of what this justification has done. And so the story just gets better, right? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. What God has done through the blood of Jesus. Verse 12 says, let's have a look together so you can see that I'm not lying. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." Okay, so maybe the good news it gets better after verse 12, okay? After verse 12, it does get better. Some of you might say, how so? How is it that we all sinned? Like, I feel like I wasn't there when Adam did the thing in the garden. I heard that he ate a fruit that he wasn't supposed to eat. I don't even like fruit, right? How can I be part of what he did? And the Bible seems to tell us that in Adam, all humans were represented, right? In this one human being, all of us, all humanity were represented in him. In such a way that what he did is what we did, right? If you, do you guys know amakwinya? Yes. You know when you are making amakwinya, ne? There's a big bowl of amagwinya. You put your flour and the ingredients, and you do your covering. What do you call it? Kneading. Right, and the bowl of amagwinya, it's not amagwinya yet, right? It's just dough, but it grows in this big bowl, and then from this big bowl, you then would carve small little amagwinyas, and you start putting them in the pan and whatever, and you have small amagwinyas, right? So Paul says, all of us here are the small amagwinyas that came from the big batch of the original dough, right? The original lump is Adam. But all of us, amagwinya, right? Some of them, you fry them for too long and they get a little bit darker, but they say, they are the same, okay? It's from the same batch, all right? And what are the chances that these amagwinyas are gonna taste differently once, you know, this one will taste different and maybe this one will make you less fat and that one, all of them will have the same effect. Why? Because they come from the same lump batch, the first batch from Adam. Okay? So that's who we are. We inherited Adam's sin because Adam was representing us in him as the first human. And some of you might be toy-toying and saying, I don't know, it's not fair. I feel like I would have done a better job if it was given to me. How are you doing this morning in the obedience side? Any of you feel like you are thriving as obedient children of God? Huh? Yeah, I feel like Adam did exactly what you and I would have done, right? We saw what we wanted. Adam was given an opportunity to choose God, but Adam decided that he and Eve were upper management. We can make our own decisions. Huh? We don't need God to be telling us what to eat and not what to eat. We are upper management material, and we are going to make our own decisions because humans love self. Humans prioritize self. And the reality is that if you and I were given the same choice, we would have chosen to disobey God. We share the same universal DNA of rebelling against God. My sweet seven-year-old, again, bought these nice treats for her friend and her two sisters because the friend had gone for an operation, right? Kind heart, meaning very well. But then we took long to actually deliver the gifts, the treats to the friend. And guys, temptation is real. So my poor girl was just stuck at home with these treats. And I don't know when it happened, but she obviously succumbed and she ate the first one. She didn't tell me. She ate the second one. She didn't say anything. And then the third one, she comes to me, you know. She is absolutely defeated, drenched in shame. She says, Mommy, please can you buy more treats for my friends because I ate it. Right? Even when we really, really mean well, human beings will always choose self. And when we do that, we fail to love God and to love our neighbor. And it is only when we truly understand who we are as the children of Adam that we can truly appreciate what Jesus has come to do in giving us a new identity in him. And so when we read, I'm going to jump to verse 18, and I'll tell you why later. Maybe I won't, but I'll probably forget. Let's jump to verse 18 and hear what Paul says. He says, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. It is because of us understanding exactly what we are and who we are as children of Adam that we can fully understand and appreciate this gift that Jesus has come to give us. And then another thing that Paul wants us to see in this passage is that the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness, has no comparison to the sin, right? it's not like sin came and brought in death and then grace came and kind of made things level. Grace came and superseded what death thought it was able to do. There is no comparison between what sin did, the consequences of sin, and the consequences of Jesus dying on the cross. Let's have a look so you can see I'm not lying. Read verse 15 with me. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? When you hear overflow, what kind of images do you see? More than you could ever think. It doesn't stop. It just grows. It's alive. It's overflowing. That's what Jesus came and he did for us. And it continues in verse 16. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? There seems to be a lot of reigning there. Even verse 21, it continues that same thought. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Paul seems to say the one man, Adam, brought in sin and resulted in death, right? But the one man, Jesus Christ, has not just brought in life, he has brought us eternal life. Can you imagine spending our whole eternity with our Heavenly Father in close proximity with Him, in Him, spending our whole eternity with Christ? It's worth holding on even when suffering comes in this lifetime. It is worth holding on because we know where we are going. We are going to spend eternity living in the presence of the God Almighty. We can't even fathom what that must be like. But we know that we look forward to the day where we will be forever in the presence of our God. And then another thing that we keep seeing here is the word rain. When I hear rain, I think Genesis 1 verse 28. Remember when God created human beings and he made them in his image? What did he say to them? He said, Genesis 1, 28, God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. It seems that when God created human beings, he wanted them to rule and have dominion over the earth. But then unfortunately, what did we do? We gave up the dominion because we allowed a snake to say something different than what God had said. And we gave up our ability to be the sons and daughters who rule with their Heavenly Father as the one commander in chief, right? We were supposed to listen to him and then rule the earth and make it beautiful and cultivate it and make it more than what it was when it was created. But we lost that. And these verses tell us that we didn't rule anymore. Who ruled? What ruled? It says death reigned. Death started to reign and not the humans. And we even today still see and feel the ramifications of that sin. Because we can smell the decay in our world, right? Things are broken. Things are not right. But what does Paul tell us? He says, because Jesus came, grace came, And what did it do? It liberated human beings, you and I, to once again reign with Jesus, not just then in eternity, to even begin reigning now. I don't know what reigning for you looks like. Maybe you're imagining a high golden chair and people feeding you grapes. That's not what reigning looks like in God's dictionary. Reigning means work. Reigning means cultivating. Reigning means rolling up your sleeves and getting down in the dirty business. Because things are broken, and Jesus is not going to come and just wave his magic wand and make things all perfect again. No, no, no. He is going to partner with you. He wants you to be part of what he's doing. He wants you to be part of restoring what has been broken. And before you think that that's for the pastors, that's for people in ministry, my friend, it is for every single one of you that sits here. You have a calling. You have a purpose to partner with God to restore what the devil came to steal from us. When my husband first became a manager in Durban, where he was working for this for municipality of Ethekwini municipality, and in his section he realized that the women in at work were not being promoted as much as the men were, and the reason would be, you know, they're not equipped, they don't have the right experience, and so he started writing letters and motivation so that these women could actually get the training that they need. And before long, there was a group of ladies flying off to Joburg to go do a course that would then set them up to be better and to get the promotions that others were afforded, right? You can imagine someone who's never been even out of Durban now getting an opportunity to go, I think they were flying, to fly to Joburg. And the way they would have started to think differently about themselves, right? Even now, they would phone B and say, "Yo, Mr. B, thank you for just seeing us. Thank you for seeing that, you know, there was that we were being marginalized, and you didn't just sit and say, oh, it's outside my jurisdiction." No, if you can use your talents, your power, your influence to make other people's lives full of hope, then you are partnering with God and reigning in this life. Even here, when we came to Cape Town, he worked at the city of Cape Town, and there was this lady that was just exceptional at her work. Her name was Auntie Millie, the colored middle-aged lady, and B recognized that she was just so good at what she did, and he said, "Auntie Millie, you need a promotion. You're going to be the one that trains new people that come in. You are going to move to a bigger office. You're going to get, you know, an increase." Auntie Millie said, "No way, Jose. I ain't moving. I've been doing this job for years. And the thought of just changing what I've been doing, it's not going to happen." But B gradually convinced Auntie Millie that you got this. You got this, girl. You've been doing this. I'll be there for you. I'll be with you. And before you know it, Auntie Millie was flourishing in her work. And when we left to go back to Durban, she bought us this huge present. And she said, "Thank you, Mr. B, for just seeing me." And I want to say, where you are at the gym, at your school, at home, you have the ability to make a difference, to partner with God, to live a fragrance of Christ where you have been, where people can say, "No, no, no, there's something different about that one. I wonder what it is." And then they realize, oh, it's because they are the son and the daughter of somebody different, someone who's out of this world. And that is what I want to call us to this morning as Jubilites, that we don't just see the gift, appreciate the gift, right? Like, it would be ridiculous for Pilar to just receive the shoes and then take them and put them in the wardrobe and say, "Oh, beautiful shoes, oh, wonderful shoes," like every day. "Oh, I've got shoes. No, part of appreciating the shoes is to put them on and get them to do the work, right? So we need to get up and do the work to show that we appreciate this gift of righteousness. Are we ready to work? Amen. Can I see some muscles? Are we ready to partner with God and do what we have always been called to do? And let us remember that when we do this, we are going to be operating from a place of humility. Why? Because we know that none of it is because we deserve. All of it is gift over gift over gift. It's grace over grace over grace. And that is why when we operate and we are ruling and reigning and doing things with God, we are going to do it with such humility because we know that we deserved none of it. It's not because we were better Christians than others. It is because the gift of God's righteousness far superseded the sin that lived within us. And that's the reason. It reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, right? He thought he was going to be, he's going to get condemnation because he had run off and he had squandered off the wealth of the family. And but when he comes home, what happens? The Bible tells us that he was clothed with a robe. He didn't even have to dress himself up. He was clothed in a robe. A ring was put on his finger, sandals on his feet. What he received was way above what he thought he would get or what he actually deserved. That's the kind of God we serve. A God of abundance, a God of overflow, a God of generosity. And we want to pause and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us, what we couldn't do on our own. And then lastly, what we see in this passage, we see Paul also talking about the law, right? I want us to understand that when we see a Jew talking to another Jew about the law, we might get a little bit lost in the conversation because we're not Jews, right? We never received the law of Moses from Mount Sinai. So for them, what it meant for them would be slightly different to how we would understand the law. And I want us to keep that in our minds as we read through Paul to understand that the law that he's talking about would be the law that the Israelites would have obviously held quite sacred, right? It meant, for them, it meant this is how we worship God. This is how we have a connection with God. We've never been there. I mean, we have a Jew, Steve Schlesinger, but he's half Jew. So none of us here would actually know what the law was meant to do for them, right? So keep it in mind that when he talks about the law, he's not saying it's not the law. It's not the laws that we come up with that, you know, I need to worship God this way because if I do it this way, then I know that I'll be right with him. Those are our additional laws. But for them, this is the law that came straight from God. And so it was sacred. And it meant to them that this is the way we are going to worship God. But Paul then wants them to understand that after Jesus has come, guys, as Jews, we need to have a different understanding, a different relationship to the law. Because the law could never do what Jesus has come and done, right? He's not saying the law is bad, but he's saying something better than the law has come. And he wants them to have a different relationship with the law. So these are the verses that talk about the law. I think from verse 13. Verse 13, let's read. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, and as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. And then verse 20 says, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. A lot of Christians love that verse, that the law was brought in so that trespass might increase. But if I was a Jew, I would be toy-toying. Because, like, why are you bringing the law so that sin would increase? Like, what is happening? Are you against us? What is God doing? And so I was reading this and I'm thinking, okay, if I'm a Jew, I'm a Jew, I'm a Jew. How would I need to understand this? And let's say hypothetically, there's a 14-year-old boy named Junior. You know, he could be anyone's son. Let's say this son exists, right? And he has a godly mother who loves the Lord very much, a very kind woman. And this mother says to his son, Junior, Junior, you need to go clean your room, right? And then this beautiful boy, he goes into the room, he, you know, takes up the lump of clothes on the bed, on the floor, wraps it up, plonks it in a chair, and then covers it with a nice blanket, right? And then spreads over the duvet, over the bed. There's lumps there because, you know, he's not minding that there's a sheet that half covering the mattress. That's not his problem, right? He can walk out of that room knowing that I have obeyed. You said I must go clean my room. And to my standards, that room is clean, right? A man is walking like this because he has just cleaned his room. But because he has a kind, God-fearing mother, right? This mother then takes a notepad and he writes down for the son clear rules of how the room needs to be cleaned, right? So everything is laid out so clear that there are no misinterpretations of what the mother means. So she would say things like, thy shall not shoveth dirty socks under the bedeth, right? So it's clear. Rule and rule and rule and rule and rule. Writes it down, gives it to the son. And then the son can then, next time he's cleaning his room, probably the same way, he can then take out the exam pad and he can look. Oh, did I shove it the socket under the bedeth? Oof, I did. Tick. Did I take the dirty laundry into the bathroom as it says on this exam pad? Oh, I didn't. Okay. Sin is increasing. I didn't. And the son can sit there and say, sin has increased and increased and increased. But did the mother increase the son's sin? No, the mother is good. Right? Right? The law is good. But the law shows exactly how you, relating to a holy God, just fall short. And so the law came in to say, my friend, I know you think there's confusion, and I don't want any confusion. You have sinned, and here it is. You were meant to do this, you did that. And so that is how I have found understanding this verse to be helpful. But Yebana. It says the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Hey, sin cannot catch up with God's grace. Amen. There are people sitting here thinking, I've sinned so badly, I'm pretty sure I'm a write-off in God's kingdom. My friend. When you think sin is here, grace is already there. Yeah. Already, the sins of yesterday, the sins of today, the sins of tomorrow, they are all fully covered. Hallelujah. In the grace that is brought in by our kind, loving Lord Jesus. It's not worth celebrating. Is that not worth celebrating this morning? Is that not worth saying, God, you are good? Right? We walk out of here with full confidence that he's got us. And whatever the devil will try and speak into our ear about you, but don't forget that you have done this. And you say, I hear you. But the thing is, I am a new human. I'm no longer the son and daughter of Adam. I am the son and daughter of Jesus Christ, who already died for the things that you are reminding me about. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to be listening to you because I've got work to do. I've got a mandate. I've got a purpose. And I'm going to do it, broken as I am. I'm not going to wait till I'm perfect because I know that will never happen. But I'm going to forge right on. And where I have set foot, it's going to smell like Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. I want us to pray together, guys, as a church. I know that we belong to a bigger church, but as a Jubilee, I would love for us to be awakened afresh to our calling to rule and reign with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's better when we do it together. Those who read the Bible like the way they should, like the Carl Johnstons, brought it to my attention that as Paul has been writing verses, chapters 1 to 4, he's been using the pronoun, you know, you, because he's talking to a group of people, you Gentiles or you Jews. But then from chapter 5, he starts talking using the pronoun we, right? We are, as a we in Rome, he's saying, okay, as a church, what can you do? You could get money together and help me to go and preach in Spain, right? As a we, as a church, as a together. And for us as a church together, oh guys, the sky's the limit. The sky is the limit as to what we can do if we are truly a we. And I bought this puzzle for us as a church. Can you see how beautiful it is? Right? It's, I don't know if it's stars or galaxies or something, but it is gorgeous when you have a look at it. But this puzzle actually comes in small pieces. There's 2,000 pieces here. And I'm going to ask some of my friends, as we pray, to just pass around these pieces of this puzzle that makes up this beautiful picture. Because each and every one of you are part of this. This puzzle will never be beautiful without you. So as you take your piece, keep it safe and keep it as a reminder that you are called to partner with God to make this happen. The one who made this puzzle will never be happy when there's a piece missing. He'll never look at it and smile and say, oh, that is beautiful, when there's a piece missing. Your piece. Your piece. You. What God has called us to do would never be complete without you. Take this piece of puzzle and keep it as a reminder that you are part of a way bigger story. Listen, whatever tricks and whatever chaos that the devil brings and he wants to separate us to a you and a them and a I. It's time we say nonsense to that, because we've got a bigger purpose. Because I cannot be part of this without you. We are a we. Whether we like it or not, the one who created us thinks that we are better as a we. I want us to pray this morning. And as we're praying, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal in your heart and challenge your heart about the people who don't make it into your we. When you say we, are there people that automatically don't fit into that category? Because you just can't. You just can't. They just don't get it. Or they've hurt you. Or whatever reasons you might have that prevent you from having a we relationship with other people who are part of your family. I want you to ask God this morning to search your heart and ask him, Lord, won't you expand my ability to be a we, because I'm part of something bigger. And yes, some pieces of this puzzle might have different theology to you and you might not want to be part of that, but even if people have different theologies to you that might offend you, doesn't change that we all belong here. And there's a bigger picture. And what this is what we want it to be all about. I wonder if we can break into just small little groups. Pray for each other. Asking the Holy Spirit, won't you please, oh God, help us as a church to understand our calling and not waste our time fighting on things that are not part of what we are called to do. Heavenly Father, won't you be the God who says, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Your word penetrates to dividing soul and spirit. We don't even know how that works, but you know. It divides joints and marrow. And your word, O God, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. May our hearts rest in the truth of who you say we are. And may your Holy Spirit enable us, empower us to be the new humans that we truly are and to reign as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. I'm going to let David continue to lead us into a time of praying together as I rush off. But I am so excited for what God is going to do through this church. Please don't be left out. Don't allow yourself to be left out of what God is wanting to do. Because all of you here, we are all amagwinya, but amagwinya that have been revamped by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.